Hi, my name's Paul Grogan, and welcome to episode 62 of the All New Gaming Rules podcast. This episode is an audio version of the Games of the Month video log for January 2024. A big thank you to all of my Patreon supporters for making this episode possible, and if you want to support me directly, you can do so at patreon.com/gamingrules. And now, on with the show. Yes, it's 2024. I'm here with a not quite a new studio. I've basically painted the wall. Different colour. Because I've been having various issues, for the last few years, over lighting and things like that. So basically what I've done is I've painted it a new darker colour in the hope that it helps. Anyway, let me know what you think about it. So in this video log, I am going to be talking about all of the games that I've been playing in the whole of January. Give you an update on the channel and tell you what's coming up in the future. All of the usual stuff. As always, a big thank you to all of my Patreon supporters for funding the channel. These videos are not sponsored in any way, and all of the advertising revenue goes to charity. So yeah, these videos are only possible thanks to the support of the Patreon campaign. And just as a reminder, these videos are also available in podcast form, which you know about if you're listening to this as a podcast. But if you're not, if you're watching this video on YouTube and you think, oh, wait a minute, I prefer this just as an audio podcast, then it is available. Just search for the New Gaming Rules podcast, something like that. Anyway, you'll find it on all of the usual podcast providers. And if you can't find it, let me know. Right then. So what we're going to talk about? Let's talk about the games. So all of the games that I've played in January. Now, the first one that I'm going to talk about is Mother of Frankenstein Volume 2, which I don't actually know when we played it, but I went back earlier on and I listened to my video log from December where I said that we'd started Mother of Frankenstein Volume 2, and part one of which is you actually build a jigsaw, and we hadn't done anything with it. At some point, and I can't remember exactly when, but we have now finished Volume 2 of Mother of Frankenstein. They are puzzle-based games. It's not fair to say that these are escape room-style games, because there's no escaping from a room or anything like that, but there are puzzles in the game. Now, the puzzles that you have in this game are sort of similar to ones that you would have in an escape room, which is why I think a lot of people sort of categorize them as that. And the people who actually created this do escape rooms as well, I believe. But anyway, this is published by Arcane Wonders. It's not their original publication. They've basically picked it up and they're helping with the distribution and things like that. But it is one of our favorite, I say our favorites, me and Vicky play this together. We play a lot of these puzzle escape room style games. This is one of our favourites. The puzzles in this game are really clever. Now, they are quite a bit deeper than some of the other ones that we've played. I'm not going to say harder, because we have managed to do most of the puzzles in this game without much help. In fact, Volume 1, I think we did without any hints. Volume 2, we did need a couple of hints. But the puzzles are really clever. They are really well thought out. And they kind of build on. I felt that Volume 2 was a little bit more complicated than Volume 1, but when you actually understand the puzzles and what they're asking for, it is really clever. So if you like those sorts of games and you want one that's a little bit more challenging, then I would recommend Mother of Frankenstein. We have finished Volume 2. Volume 3 is next on the cards, which actually starts off building a 3D jigsaw puzzle at the start of it. So yeah, looking forward to that one, and they've all been very good to play so far. Moving on, the next one I want to talk about is a game which has not quite taken over my life, but I'm spending a lot of time playing this. This is Agamonia. Now, Agamonia is a game which I first came across or first got involved in a number of years ago. It's published by Lauter Pellet. It was going on crowdfunding, and Lauter Pellet are one of my clients, and I did loads of work for them before, so they got me involved in this. I ended up helping a little bit with the rulebook. I did loads of videos for this game prior to it being on Kickstarter. And now finally, after a long, long time wait, it is finally out. And backers are actually getting their copies. I have agreed to do a series of tutorial and playthrough videos. There's 5 videos in total. And in order for me to be comfortable in playing those videos, you know, recording those videos for you to watch, I needed to do a practice game. So basically, with group number 2, I have played 5 scenarios of Agamonia in January over a period of 4 sessions. Our first session was scenarios 1 and 2, and then we did scenario 3, then we did scenario 4, then we did scenario 6. We didn't do 5 for reasons I explain in the videos. Then, with group 1, I met up, we did three times, we did three different sessions, we played scenarios three, four, and six. Now, all of those videos have been filmed and they've been edited and they are ready to go. I really wanted to get them out this week, but I'm not allowed to. The publisher has told me that I'm not allowed to release them until the 5th of February, even though some backers are actually getting their games now, are unboxing it, and some of them are actually playing it. But anyway, those videos are going to be available very soon. So the 5th of February, I'm going to be making those videos live. There are five videos. The first video is tutorial scenario one. The second video is tutorial scenario two. Third video is tutorial scenario three. The fourth video is what happens when you get into town, the tutorial phase is over, and you are now starting to play the campaign proper. But this is one of those games where the tutorials are actually part of the campaign. So you should play through them. Don't skip the tutorials because they are part of the story and part of the campaign. Then in the fifth video, we play scenario six. Now, the reason why we missed out scenario five is because scenarios four and six are actually worth an experience point. And once you've got two experience points, you go up to level two. For the purposes of the video, I wanted to show you what happens when you get to level two, because at that point, the game really opens up. Now, we have now stopped playing. I am going to be going back to it later on in this year. And as I say, there's going to be lots of videos for this on the channel. And if you are one of my Patreon supporters, you've had early access and you've been able to see us filming these videos and watch the behind the scenes and everything else. But let me tell you what I think about Agamonia, bearing in mind that I was professionally involved in this game and I have done some commissioned videos on it. Agamonia might be my favourite fantasy cooperative adventure game that I've played, because there are things about it which tick a lot of my boxes. And I've had this conversation with many, many people. So apologies if I'm repeating myself, if you've heard this before, but when you compare Agamonia to something like Gloomhaven, which is great, but, and I probably said all of this last month as well, the big differences between Agamonia and other games like Gloomhaven is the actual adventure is a lot more interactive. So it isn't just read an initial bit of story text and then go around beating up monsters. It's actually, here's an introduction to the story. Right, off you go. And as you're playing through the scenario, you'll be uncovering new parts of story. Things will be happening. It's not just about going around and fighting monsters. It feels very much like a role-playing game with a GM. The game is the GM, sort of throwing in extra story points along the way with what happens. And that's really good. Also, it uses dice for combat, but in probably the best way that I've ever seen. So when you're rolling to attack in combat, these dice are not just, oh, roll, oh, you've hit, or you've missed. These dice have got different symbols on the different sides. And essentially, you will always hit with a red dice. So the more red dice you roll, the more damage you're going to do, because there are no misses on these dice. But some of the results cause you to spend stamina. So, and you'll see this if you watch the playthroughs, but it is very much ticks my Euro game boxes, because it's a kind of like a resource management game. So you're like attacking a monster, I'm rolling three dice, I'll roll the three dice. Oh, right, so that one's a hit. This one will be a hit if I spend a couple of stamina. Okay, so do I want to spend the stamina? Yeah, okay, so I'll spend the stamina. Oh, I'm 1 point short, I'll use an achievement token. Use an achievement token, right, I've done the five damage, job done. So yeah, it is a hybrid game. It is very much a fantasy cooperative, exploring, killing monsters, but also doing lots of other stuff with dice rolling, but there's ways that you can gain extra successes on those dice rolls. It's well written, it's well produced. It's been a pleasure to go through these videos. And as I said, we will be going back to the rest of the campaign later on this year. So that is Agamonia. Then I played Federation. Now, Federation is a game that was recommended to me by my Patreon supporters, and I reached out to the publisher, thanks to the help of Mike Dennis from Ready Steady Play, and the publisher kindly sent me a copy of the game. It's a French company called Explore8, although I believe Eagle Griffin Games have got the license to do the English language version. Even though it's language independent, Eagle Griffin Games got the license to distribute it, I believe, in America. Now, lots of people have been telling me this game was great, so I went into it with high expectations. It was not a sponsored playthrough. It was just one that we did. So again, thank you for my Patreon supporters for not just suggesting the game, but funding the channel enough that I can essentially take days off work in order to produce content, which is still work, but it's not paid for, if you see what I mean. The game is amazing. The game is very, very good. And we actually do a round the table discussion at the end of the video, which I split off and talked about in a separate review video, if you want to get our detailed thoughts. But everything about this game was just really well polished. It was elegant in a way, and the decisions that you have to make when you are choosing which piece you want to place into the center is, right, which action do I want? Which token am I going to use on that action? Do I want to place it this side up or that side up? Which column do I want to place it in so that I choose which project I'm going to fund? And which row do I want to place it in for the end of game majority scoring? And which side of the Senate do I want to place it on in order to swing the vote one way or the other in terms of the end of game, the end of round scoring law or something like that? Wow. There's so much to think about. It is very interactive in the way that it plays. I have only played it at four player, so I can't really share my thoughts on how it would work at a lower player count. I've heard it does work because there's blocking things for various spaces, but the interaction between the players is very nice. It's very Euro-y in that you're competing with the other players for basically bidding on certain areas. Now, bidding in the terms of you are placing tokens on the board that have points on them. You're not actually auctioning off anything. But yeah, Federation is a very, very good game. I actually played it again later on in the month on Board Game Arena because they have got a Board Game Arena implementation of it, which is in alpha at the moment. But it's working really well. It might be in beta, I'm not quite sure. But yeah, it's going to be, it's on Board Game Arena for those people who have access to it, and it'll become public at some point. But definitely check that out. We did have a few language issues with the rulebook that came with the game, but the Eagle Griffin version of the game, they basically redid the English rulebook. The rules were fine. It was just a slight translation issue with some of the things. But yeah, download the Eagle Griffin one if you've got the if you want to play basically the English version. So that's Federation. Next up on the 12th of January, another non-sponsored playthrough, and this is Bitoku with the expansion. I actually played it twice that day. I played it first in the afternoon, which was a relearning game for me. That was streamed to Patreon supporters. So if you're a Patreon supporter of mine, you will have got a link to that. And that was basically me setting the game up, relearning how to play, and then playing it. And Bitoku was a game that I loved. It was my favourite game of 2021. I think it was 2021. Or was it 2022? Anyway, the year it came out, it was my favourite game of the year. I absolutely love the game, and it's been a while since I've played it. And I only went back to it because they've released an expansion, so I have to go back to the game to relearn it and everything else. And as I was relearning it, and as I was playing through it, I was thinking, this might be in my top 10 games of all time. This is just brilliant. I just love this game. There is something about this game, and I can't fully describe exactly what it is, because I've no interest in the theme whatsoever. But there's something about this game that, for me, it just suits me. And I just love the flow of the game and the way it plays. Anyway, then in the evening, we played through with the expansion. So if you're interested to see what the expansion holds, what I do is at the start of that video, I explain how the expansion works, and then we play with the expansion. So there's a full playthrough with the expansion on the public channel. And again, we talk about it at the end. So if you want to see our full thoughts, where we talk for about 10 minutes about what we think about the expansion, go and check out the video, skip to the end. Or again, I split it off as a separate review video if you wanted to watch that. But ultimately, the expansion is really nice, and it's nice because it's really small. When I heard that they were doing an expansion for Bitoku, I was like, no, the game's already quite heavy. Don't do an expansion. Don't make it even more complicated. Although, I will be honest with you, when I went back and I played through it again that afternoon, I was thinking, this isn't actually that heavy. Now, I think it is. I think it's just because it suits me and suits my style, and it all just seems to flow quite nicely, I didn't feel as heavy as I initially thought it was. But anyway, the expansion is a nice little expansion. There's a few little modules, some of which you can just add in because it's just a little bit more variety. The main part of the new expansion are these cards. And there are these cards which are basically text-heavy cards that you can play at certain points in the game to break the rules for you. And they've got lots of nice, interesting effects. Now, there are two types of cards. There are the nice cards and there are the red cards. The red cards are highly interactive with the other players in a negative fashion. I will never play with those cards. We had a look at some of them at the end of the video, and all of us around the table agreed that they are not the kind of cards that we want in the game. So, you know, that's fine. We just play with the other cards, and they were good. They worked really well. But if you want a bit of game, if you want a bit of take that in your game, where, you know, oh, when somebody's about to make a move, play this card and reduce the value of their dice to completely and utterly screw up everything that they've been planning to do for the last 30 minutes. If you like that in a game, great, play with those red cards. But for me, that's not what I want in a game, especially a game like that. So I'm never going to use those red cards. But yeah, the rest of the expansion was really nice. I would probably, with playing with new players, I would mix in the first couple of modules because it's just easier than taking them out. And they're not that much extra overhead. I would not use the cards with new players. I would only use them with people who've played it before. Anyway, that's Bitoku. Videos on the channel if you want to hear more about it. And yeah, as I say, possibly one of my top 10 games of all time. Then I did a bit of a playthrough one night. I had about an hour and a half free. I think what I was going to do, plans changed or got cancelled. And as I mentioned in last month's video log, I've had Earthborn Rangers calling out to me in the middle of the night, and I have been really, really itching to explore this game more, really dive into this game and really see what this game has to offer. Now, unfortunately, as always, time is always my biggest enemy, and I haven't really had time to get into it as much as I wanted. But one night, and I can't remember exactly when it was, but I did a playthrough of the game, and I actually used Tabletop Simulator. And I did this, and it was live streamed to my Patreon supporters, and I just said, look, I've had this game really, really begging at me to play, so I'm just going to go on Tabletop Simulator. I'm going to play through the demo scenario that they put on TTS for two reasons. Well, three reasons. First, to scratch that itch, because I wanted to play it. Second, to show some of my Patreon supporters what the game was about, because some of them had no idea what it was about, and I keep talking about it. And the third is for those of my Patreon supporters who have played it, they can watch that video and tell me where I'm going wrong rules-wise. As it was, I think I got most of the rules right. And what's interesting is the demo scenario that they've got, which is an official one, it's on Tabletop Simulator, is not actually the scenarios that's included in the game itself. So there was no spoilers or anything like that. I was expecting it to be, oh, I'll actually start playing through the start of the campaign. But no, it was just a completely different demo scenario. Anyway, that's where I am with Earthborn Rangers. Now, Earthborn Rangers has gone back onto Kickstarter. The project is live right now. If you're interested in it, as I say, I unfortunately haven't had the time to really get into this game, but I still really want to. Next up, Boon Lake. This is following on from Federation, Bitoku, and now Boon Lake. These are not sponsored videos. So I've had, and I'll talk about this a little bit later, but I've had sort of a 3-month gap in doing sponsored videos. And I have been doing a lot of videos that have been funded through Patreon and voted on by Patreon supporters. And Boon Lake is one of them. Now, Boon Lake, again, similar story to Bitoku. I did enjoy the game, not as much as Bitoku, but I did enjoy the game and I played it a few times, but it's had an expansion. So therefore, we get the base game back out and we relearn it. So on the Thursday night at the local games club, I took Boon Lake and we played it. Now, I thought that this was going to be a long game and there was no way we were going to get a game done. So I thought, right, we're going to play with three players instead of four, and I'm going to make sure that everybody who's played it knows how to play in advance so we can just get on and play it. That didn't happen. We had four players and I had to do a full teach at the start of the game. Thankfully, we got it done. We got a full four-player game done in about 2¾ hours with a full teach at the start. Now, I say a full teach, it was quick and I didn't explain absolutely everything just because I knew we were never going to get it finished. And we only just got it finished, and that's because one player moved quite fast on the last round. But anyway, again, there is a video on the channel where we talk about the game after the playthrough. There isn't a separate review video for this one. It's just the playthrough. But if you go to the playthrough video and skip to the end, it is timestamped. We all talk about the game for 10 minutes and you will find my detailed thoughts about Boon Lake. I do enjoy the game. I think there are a couple of parts of the game which are extremely clever and really, really clever and really well done. But there are a couple of parts of the game which are a little bit fiddly, little fiddly rules that you will forget during the game. And we always forget. Every time we play it, we forget. Somebody forgets that, oh, when you build a settlement next to a cow or a cow next to a settlement, you get two money. Okay, I'm sure there's a reason why that rule is in there, but it's another rule to remember. Oh, settlements. Yeah, settlements can only be built if there's at least three things around them. Oh, and you can't have two settlements in the same region. Now, these rules are all in there for a very good reason, but they are just rules that you, again, you have to remember they're a little bit fiddly. And in terms of complexity, I would have said, if you'd have asked me a month ago, Boon Lake and Bitoku, I would have said, ah, they're about similar complexity. Having played them on consecutive weeks, Boon Lake for me felt a lot heavier. There was a lot more chunky and in some cases clunky rules in Boon Lake than there was in Bitoku. I felt Bitoku, again, probably a bit of bias here, but a bit more streamlined and a bit less rules overhead. Anyway, that was Boon Lake. It's on the channel now if you're interested in that. Yeah, I was really happy to have gone back to it and played it again. I would play it if somebody wanted to play it, but it wouldn't be my first Alexander Pfister game of choice, or my second, or my third, or possibly my fourth. But it's still a good game. Right, then, Explorers of Novoria. So this was Friday, just gone. Simon from Dranda Games came over. Explorers of Novoria is on Kickstarter right now, and we'd agreed that Simon would come over for the afternoon and teach us how to play. And we did, and that is on the channel now. Now, it is a two-hour video, but it isn't a two-hour game. It's probably a one-hour game, maybe an hour and 15 for your first game. This isn't a long game, but we did a full teach at the start. I went into it knowing absolutely nothing about it. And we played with the expansion. So if you have seen other people's videos on Explorers of Novoria, then check out my video because I cover the expansion. And Simon said this is a bit of an exclusive. Nobody else has really done a video with the expansion. And we did. And we threw in, I think, pretty much all of the elements of the expansion in there. So yeah, it was quite a long video because we weren't rushing. We were taking our time. And Simon was explaining how it all went. But Explorers of Novoria, again, bearing in mind, it was a sponsored video, so Dranda Games have commissioned me to create that video. I'd heard lots of good things about this game, and I agree. I think Explorers of Novoria is an extremely good game. Now, at the start of the video, Simon said, the base game of Explorers of Novoria is Gateway Plus. So it isn't a game that you would play with a family who's never played any modern board games, but once they've played a couple of them, that's one that you would put in front of them to try and play. Now, we all have our own definitions of what a gateway game is and a gateway plus game and everything else. Turns out Simon's definition of it is exactly the same as mine. I felt the same way after he'd explained how you play the base game. But he then said, if you introduce the expansion, this turns it into a medium weight Euro. And I would absolutely agree with that. And that's what we played. We played on the channel. We played with the expansion, and there was definitely a lot more things going on. And you would not use the expansion as a Gateway Plus game. It would absolutely drown people. So it does add lots of extra bits to it without completely overcomplicating it. And it just adds some extra depth to the game. It does add some extra rules because there's extra things going on. And the new grey cards and the new rewards for the different tracks and everything else. But yeah, Explorers of Novoria, I think, is a solid game. Now, yesterday I recorded a solo playthrough, and that is going to be going live later today. So I'm recording this video on Tuesday the 30th of January. I'm probably going to put this video live in a few days' time. So by the time you see this video, my Explorers of Novoria solo playthrough will have already gone live on the channel. Nobody else has covered the solo mode, so it is a bit of an exclusive. If you are interested in that, go and check it out. But the solo mode for Explorers of Novoria is my perfect solo mode. In other words, there is no AI. There is no automated dummy player where you have to go through flowcharts to see what it's going to do. But it isn't just beat your own score. It is scenario based, and it is you have a goal. And in the first scenario that I played yesterday, I had a specific goal to reach at the end of the game. And if I didn't reach that goal, I didn't win the scenario. But better than that, it's actually got gradings, like a lot of games. If you score this many points, you'll get 1 star, this many points, 2 stars, this many points, 3 stars. And you've got customizable difficulty levels as well. So you can go into the game and you can say, right, I'm going to play on medium difficulty with this setup card. And first of all, try and beat the scenario. But then if you do beat the scenario, see if you can get a gold, 3 gold stars. If you only get two, try again. So the solo mode for me is really good. It makes you think about the game in a slightly different way, customizable difficulty levels, and it's mission-based. So yeah, that's good for me. Anyway, those videos are on the channel if you're interested in that. And the last game that I've played in the month is Nassau. I'm not quite sure how you pronounce it, but let's say Nassau. This is the new game in the Stefan Feltytti collection that's coming from Queen Games. This is game number 7, and it was a prototype copy of the game. The rules are not finalized yet, but the video will give you a good idea of how it plays. 90% of the rules are done, and they sent me a very good quality prototype, and that is on the channel now. The Kickstarter, I believe, is going live near the start of February, I think. But yeah, there you go. That's the next game in the Stefan Feltytti collection. And to answer all of the common questions, it is not a re-implementation of an older game, but it does take one of the core mechanisms from Rum and Pirates, which is one of his earlier lighter games, and it expands on that. So part of the game uses the existing mechanisms from Rum and Pirates, but then there's a whole bunch of extra stuff on the top. I'm not going to share my personal thoughts on that because it was a sponsored video and the game is still in development. So I did have some thoughts on it, which I have fed back to Queen Games and Stefan Feld. And they're obviously taking bits of feedback on board. But yeah, the video will give you a good idea of how it plays. I am hoping to be able to cover game number 8, which is Kathmandu. But to be honest, I don't think I'm going to be able to fit it into my schedule this month. I've got a very, very busy month. But Tom Heath has covered it over on Slicker Drip. So if you're interested in seeing game number 8 in the City Collection, which is a completely new game, then Tom's covered that on his channel. Right, let's talk about other games that I've been playing asynchronously on Board Game Arena. Terraforming Mars is on Board Game Arena. It's in alpha. I love Terraforming Mars. Probably one of my top 10 favourite games of all time. And there's an implementation of it on Board Game Arena. I've played that game. It is a good implementation, but I'm used to the implementation on the unofficial website where you can actually include all of the expansions or as many as you want to. This is just the base game. Doesn't even have Prelude. Playing Terraforming Mars without Prelude. Anyway, love Terraforming Mars. So yeah, played a game of it on Board Game Arena. Also Federation, as I mentioned earlier on. Also, Heat, pedal to the metal. Our tournament continues. Oh, we had a cracking round 2. Yeah, I ended up coming 3rd, but the first third of the game, it was touch and go between me, Graham and Andy, and we were all near the front. But then just near the end, the two of them just got past the last corner one round early and sped off into the distance. So yeah, I came 3rd in that one. Round 3 has just started now. The implementation of Heat, pedal to the metal on Board Game Arena is fantastic. Really, really good. I played a game of Agricola, which I've not played for quite a while now, but wanted to play more of it, and I had a very, very unusual game of Agricola on Board Game Arena. I ended up playing all 7 of my occupations, which I don't think I've ever done before, and I had one occupation. Tell me in the comments what the occupation is, because I can't remember what it's called. But it's the one that basically means every time I play an occupation, I can spend a wood to gain 1 food for every occupation I have. So I went into this game thinking, right, I'm going to take all these occupations that complement each other, and I am going to try and just have a food engine generated by playing occupations, more and more and more occupations, and that's going to generate most of my food. I'm also going to buy a well early, which is going to give me regular food, and also I had a wood delivery thing, which meant I got extra wood. And then I think I had the mushroom collector, which meant every time I collected wood, I could leave one behind and take a food instead. Basically, my strategy for the game was not to bake bread, not to cook vegetables, and not to convert any animals into food with an oven. In fact, I'd never bought an oven in the whole game. And I've never seen that done before, because you need food. You need ways of generating food. And I had it. Anyway, I didn't win. I got a stupidly low amount of points. But it was fun. And I realised where I went wrong. I focused too much on that. I actually ended the game with like 10 food, which is total waste of time. But yeah, I didn't grow my family early enough, which is always the big problem with the game. So you get to the last couple of rounds and you're like, oh, wait a minute. I've got no animals and no fences. What have I been doing the entire game? Oh, all I've been doing is just creating this food generation engine, which was brilliant, but I didn't do anything else. So yeah, anyway, Agricola on Board Game Arena. My only criticism of the game on Board Game Arena is that you cannot select which deck you want to play. I really wanted to go on and say, today I want to play with the A deck, then I want to play with the B deck, or I want to play with the C deck, or whatever. You can't. You can choose which card to add in, but it just mixes them all together. So I might suggest that, but yeah, really good implementation. Next up on Board Game Arena, I've also played Game of Earth, which actually finished earlier on today. I've not played Earth for ages, and Board Game Arena is my favoured way to play that. And I've also played a game of Welcome To, which is, I think, Welcome To Your Perfect Home is the full name. But I haven't played that for ages, and I'm trying to get my BGA number of plays up, because I'm only 400 away from getting super secret access to all of the games that are in alpha. So I just went through a phase last week and I just went, I'm just going to start a few games for games that I like, which I've not played in ages. So I started Earth, Welcome To, and I also started Maracaibo. Maracaibo is in alpha on Board Game Arena. Maracaibo is in my top 10 games of all time. I absolutely love the game. The app for the game, which I have on the iPad, is fantastic. But playing on Board Game Arena against Patreon supporters, always good. Now, those three games, as of this morning, have all finished. And I won every single one of them. I'm on a winning streak. So I won the game of Maracaibo, I won the game of Earth, and I won the game of Welcome To. So that was clearly a good day for me starting games. Anyway, that is all of the games that I've played in the month, both physical games with other people, and also online games on Board Game Arena. Other content that I have created in the month. As of this morning, my How to Play video for Vienna went live. Vienna is the fifth game in the Steffenfeld City Collection, and my How to Play video went live this morning. Now, a number of you who have asked me over the last few months and said, Paul, why have you stopped creating How to Play videos? Well, it's true that I haven't created one for a very long time. In fact, the last one I created was Voidfall, but that's not to say that I'm not creating them. I've been tied up for the last 4 or 5 months with the Aeon Trespass Odyssey videos. They have been a huge amount of work. I mean, hundreds of hours of work. And I have spent many, many, many months working on those videos. And they are How to Play videos, so they are fully scripted, filmed, edited, everything. I mean, literally, they've been the biggest job that I've ever done. And I've been working on them in the background. So that's why there hasn't been any published How to Play videos, because I've been working on them. Those videos are not out yet. They're going to be out probably maybe end of February, something like that. But anyway, if you want to learn how to play Vienna, that video is on the channel now. Game number 5 in the Steffenfeld City Collection. I quite like Vienna. Next up, I did the live Q&A, which was interesting this month because I actually went into a bit of detail. A couple of people asked me some interesting questions. The first one was about my job, and I actually discussed for about 5 minutes about certain things about my job and how it works. And also, I got asked whether I prefer doing playthrough videos or how to play videos. And it was a really good question because I'd actually been thinking really seriously about it the week before, specifically with regards to Earthborn Rangers. So I won't spoil it here or repeat what I said, but I went on for about a good 5 or 10 minutes about that. Go and check out the video. It's the live Q&A for January, and it's available as a podcast if you want to listen to that. Right, future content that's coming up over the next few weeks. There's a lot here that I'm really excited about. First of all, my How to Play video for Kuzco, game number 6 in the Steffenfeld City Collection, is almost done. Probably got about half an hour more work to do on that, and then I will be publishing that. That's probably going to be live next week, I think. Mythwind has arrived, which I'm super, super excited about, but also skeptical about, because this game could be amazing. This game could be not even a game, and I play it once and I put it back in the box. I don't know. Mythwind is a very, very different take on games. This is a game with no goal, no end. You just play the game. And I'm like, right, I don't really understand. Anyway, I'm doing a sponsored video. I'm doing a sponsored playthrough video of it in March, because they're going to be going back to Kickstarter with a new expansion and stuff like that. So I am going to be producing some sponsored content for it. First thing to do is unbox it. Then I will be doing a private Paul Learns How to Play Mythwind. But that won't be anytime soon, because if I do that next week, for example, then I will have forgotten everything by the time I need to actually play through the game. So at some point, maybe the start of March, I will learn how to play the game myself, and then we'll be doing the sponsored video sometime around the middle of March. Anyway, that's Mythwind. Galactic Cruise. I am going to be doing a rulebook test for Galactic Cruise this week. So this Thursday, I will be basically trying to learn how to play the game from the rulebook, and the video will be live streamed. It's a behind the scenes video, so it's only available to my Patreon supporters, and the publisher of the game will be watching the video, either live or watching it back afterwards, and using everything that I say to help improve the rulebook and make it better. So yeah, that's happening this Thursday, but everything I've heard about Galactic Cruise, it sounds like it's my kind of game, very, very much so. So I'm doing that. I'm also doing a public playthrough of Galactic Cruise on the 20th of February. So Galactic Cruise is going to be going to Kickstarter in February, and I am going to be doing a live playthrough on the channel on Friday, the 20th of February, if you're interested in that. So that's Galactic Cruise. Also, the Agamonia videos, as I mentioned, those will all be going live next week, so that's really exciting. Steam Power is a new game from Martin Wallace. It's another train game from Martin Wallace, and it follows along from his previous train games, but this is a lighter, streamlined, more elegant. So if you've played Age of Steam, or you've played Steam, or Railroad Revolution, Railways of the World? Yeah, anyway. It follows on from those. I've seen a bit of a preview video for it. I've got the prototype. It's down there. And I'm actually going to be playing it this coming weekend. But yeah, Friday the 9th of February, if you're interested in that, it's Martin Wallace's latest train game. It's going to be going to Kickstarter, so I'm doing a playthrough of it on the 9th of February. On the 12th of February, which is a Monday, so Monday afternoon, JP from the Whose Turn Is It Anyway podcast is coming over. We're playing Imperium Horizons. So this is Imperium Horizons is the latest set from Imperium, which is the card game designed by Nigel Buckle and David Turtsey. And I'm going to be covering that. So that's going to be a two-player game of Imperium Horizons on the 12th of February. On the 14th of February, I'm going to be recording a video of Reign of Hades, which is a game going to Kickstarter later in the month. And I'm going to be recording it on the 14th of February. So that won't be a public playthrough. That will be a private playthrough, which I record, and then I'm going to edit it and I'm going to upload it later on. But I was contacted about that at the end of last year, and it looks great. So we're doing that. That's going to be a very busy week, because on Friday the 16th, I'm going to be covering Dante. Now, Dante is a game which Mark Monk from Ninja Geek Gaming, I've actually got him to handle the teach. So he's produced an overview video, which is going to be going live on my channel, but it's not with me on it. And that's going to be used for the upcoming Kickstarter campaign. And then Mark himself is coming over on Friday the 16th. He's going to be running the playthrough. I am going to be just a player. He's going to teach us how to play it, and we're going to be playing through it. So that looks interesting, and I'm quite looking forward to that one. So that's on the 16th of February. Galactic Cruise, as I mentioned, on the 20th of February. And then on the 23rd of February, Flow, the new game from Pika Studios, which is most of the people behind Fantasia Games, who did Endless Winter. I have a good working relationship with them. I really like them. I get on with them well. And I've been looking at Flow, and it looks fantastic. I don't know that much about it at the moment, but what I've seen of the game, and I've had a look through the prototype that they've sent me, the production quality is amazing, but they're really good at that sort of stuff. Artwork from Andrew Bosley, but great components and good artwork does not make a good game. So we will find out. On the 23rd of February, I will be doing a live playthrough of it. I've not learned how to play yet, so I don't know whether the game's any good, but it looks great. And we'll see. We'll see. It's a very, very busy month next month. Now then, one thing that I do want to talk about is something I mentioned earlier on. I said that I've not done many sponsored playthroughs for the last 3 months. In fact, when we got to December, I was starting to get a little bit worried because other YouTube channels that do similar things to me are putting out multiple videos a week, and most of them are sponsored. In other words, they were paid by the publishers to make those videos. And for most of September, October, November, or was it? No, October, November, and December, and in fact, most of January, almost all of those videos that I did, none of them were sponsored. I think I did a couple of sponsored videos at October when I got back from Essen. But other than that, November, December and January, I was doing live streams every Friday, sometimes taking the day off work to learn the game beforehand and prepare it and everything else, and none of them were sponsored. Now, that's fine, because that's what the Patreon funding is for. So huge thank you to all of my Patreon supporters for, you know, making what I do possible. So I wasn't worried about it, but I knew at some point that things would pick up again, and they have picked up. And this is what I want to talk about. I've been trying to get a 50-50 split of the content that I produce. 50% of it is sponsored by publishers, and 50% of it is either stuff I want to play or stuff voted on by Patreon supporters or just stuff that we're doing for fun. Now, I was at a point a few months ago where I did have that 50-50 mix. I'd do maybe, you know, 3 videos 1 week, one of which would be sponsored. Then the next week I'd do, you know, 3 videos, 2 of which would be sponsored. And I managed to, I've got that mix right. However, in November, December and January, that 50-50 mix went out the window. And whilst I was being paid to do stuff in the background, the videos that I was creating, none of them were sponsored. We are now in a position where almost everything that I'm doing at the moment is sponsored. It makes me a little bit uncomfortable. I'm not too worried about it because, as I say, I've had these last few months where nothing was almost nothing was sponsored. So I'm now going through a phase where everything is sponsored. So if we look at the future content, the How to Play video of Cuzco is sponsored. The Galactic Cruise is sponsored. Steam Power is sponsored. Imperium Horizons is sponsored. Reign of Hades is sponsored, Dante is sponsored, and Flow is sponsored. So there we go. Now, I'm going to take a look at this. I'm going away this weekend, but when I get back from this weekend, I'm going to take a look at this again, and I'm going to think I need to be doing some non-sponsored stuff. So at some point over the month, I need to sit down and I need to think, right, when am I going to do some non-sponsored stuff? But the reality is that my time is very limited and I still have a lot of things that I'm working on in the background. So I'm going to make this pledge to you. If this month ends up, if February ends up being a month where I'm like, look, everything is sponsored. This is just, and I've agreed to do these videos because I have an interest in the game. I haven't agreed to do these videos just for the money. I don't do things like that. Every single one of these games I've looked at and gone, that looks interesting. I'm quite excited about that. I want to cover that on the channel. But my pledge to you is that at some point I am going to redress the balance. And I know many of you are not worried about it. And please don't think that I'm worrying about it. I'm not. I'm not losing sleep over this. I'm not worrying about it. I'm just saying February is a month where almost everything that I do, if not everything that I do, is going to be sponsored. But we will get back to doing some Patreon-only content at some point. Right then, Full Board Gaming is a local games convention which is happening this weekend. It's in Torquay. It's organised by a good friend of mine, Matt Prowse, and it's a residential convention, which is why it's called Full Board Gaming. There are no day tickets to the event, and you cannot just turn up to the event and buy a ticket for the event itself. You have to stay at the hotel. It's a residential convention. It's called Full Board Gaming. Breakfast and evening meals are provided as part of it. And I'm really looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to it for a few reasons. First of all, Vicky's coming with me. Now, Vicky doesn't go to board game conventions because she doesn't really play that many board games. So basically, we're going away and we're staying in this hotel. And Vicky's going to make use of the, you know, the spa facilities. And she's going to have a really good break away from home for 2 or 3 days, not having to cook or anything like that. And Vicky's just coming off the back of her busiest month at work. So, yeah, she's going to really look forward to that. And that's going to be nice. I'm looking forward to it because I'm going to spend 3 days playing games, which is going to be great. Well, probably 2.5 days playing games. And I'm not working. So for the first time in years, I'm going to a convention and nothing that I'm doing is, well, nothing I'm doing is being paid for. Some of it is work related. For example, I'm taking Galactic Cruise and I'm taking Steam Power. Now, the reason I'm taking those games is I need to get them played and I need to learn them and I need to practice them ready for me covering them on the channel. I want to play them anyway, but you know, I can't not work a bit because otherwise I'll get back from the convention and I'll be like, oh, wait a minute, I'm doing a live playthrough of Steam Power this Friday and I don't know how to play it. Oops. But anyway, I'm really looking forward to that. Now, I've got the following games booked in. Voidfall, because it's amazing. Sky Mines, because it's amazing. Evenfall. Steam Power, Galactic Cruise, and Plantanubo. Now, the reason why I've booked Evenfall and Plantanubo in, and I might also be putting in Pirates of Maracaibo, is there are certain games that came out in 2023 that I have not played enough to evaluate them to know where they will be on my top 10 games of 2023. And if you think, well, Paul, you've already done a top 10 games of 2023. Yes, I've done a top 10 games of 2023 as voted on by my Patreon supporters. I haven't done my own personal top 10 games of 2023 because I can't, because games like Evenfall and Plantanubo I've only played once and I can't really evaluate it as a top 10 game based on one play. So I'm really looking forward to all of these games. Now, I have a question for you and I'd like your opinion on this. When I go to conventions like this, I like to plan at least 75 to 80% of what I'm doing. So I know that I'm playing Sky Mines at 3 o'clock on Friday. I then know that after I've had dinner, I'm going to be playing Evenfall in the afternoon. On the Saturday morning, I'm going to be playing Voidfall. And then on the Saturday afternoon, I'm going to be playing Steam Power. Saturday evening, after the meal, we're going bowling and then we're going to play some fun party games. On the Sunday morning, I'm going to be playing Galactic Cruise. And then on the Sunday afternoon, I'm going to be playing Plantanubo. And my question for you is, do you plan the same as me or not? I doubt it. Because most people, I think, go to conventions and they don't have a plan. They might have in my mind, oh, I fancy playing this, and they'll take some games with them. But most people, I don't think, actually have a plan. Now, the reason I have a plan is, there's a few reasons. These are games I really want to play. And I have got into the habit over the last few years of, if I want to play this game, then I don't want to just wait for an opportunity because that opportunity might not happen. I want to actually say, look, weeks ahead of time, I'm coming to the convention, I'm bringing this game with me. Who's interested in playing it? And a few people will go, oh yeah, I'm interested in playing that, great. But if we don't actually pick a day and time, it won't happen. So let's say, for example, Voidfall. I said, who wants to play Voidfall? And three people said, yeah, I really want to play Voidfall. Right, if we don't arrange a day and time, then what are the chances that those four people are all going to be free at that time to play Voidfall? Zero. It won't happen. Now, that's not to say that I can't just say, oh, who's around? Who wants to play Voidfall? And I might find players. I might not find players. Anyway, I like to pre-plan most of what I do. What about you? And I'm not saying you have to. It just suits me. And for me, now that I've been doing this for years and planning most of what I do, which is also an opportunity for my Patreon supporters to get to play a game with me. That's another reason why I do it. The thought of not doing this actually makes me really uncomfortable. If I didn't plan this, if I just turned up at the convention on Friday afternoon with my big bag of games and sat there, and then people would come over and we'd have a chat, and then I'd say, do we want to play a game? Yeah, sure, let's play a game. Which one should we play? Oh, now let's have a 15-minute discussion about what games we want to play. And then when that's finished, right, I don't know what I'm playing. I don't. Anyway, that makes me really uncomfortable. So I actually do my planning for a number of reasons, but one of the reasons I do this planning is it removes a source of anxiety for me. And anything that I can do to do that is good. Anyway, let me know what you think. Do you plan your games? Do you plan half of them? Do you plan none of them? Right, moving on. Let's give you a Patreon update. So it's been another good month for new people. 25 new people had joined at the point I wrote this. And then in the last hour, somebody new has joined. So 26 new people have joined the Patreon in January of 2024, which is always good. That is roughly the normal new supporters that I get each month. Unfortunately, more people have left than have joined. But again, that's just the way it is. Due to the new reporting, it's not actually possible for me to see exactly how many people have cancelled in the month. Because what happens is somebody joins and they join for a month. If they then cancel, their subscription is still active for a month, which it should be. So basically, at some point in future, my number of people that I have active on Patreon will suddenly drop down 1 month after they cancelled. So all the people that cancelled, you know, if somebody cancels their Patreon today, they will actually stay a member until the end of their membership. Anyway, it's okay. Everything's fine. We're all good. On screen now is a list of all of the new supporters for January 2024. And if you have joined, if you have rejoined the Patreon after being away for some time, or you have increased your pledge, then unfortunately, apologies, the new reporting system in Patreon means that I don't have access to that information. All I can see now is the new people that have joined in January. So yeah, apologies. If you joined my Patreon ages ago and then you left and you've just come back, your name will not be on screen. Apologies for that. But yeah, thank you for all of your support. Now, want to announce something new. Starting this month, and certainly for the foreseeable future, I'm going to be doing giveaways again. And the first giveaway that I'm going to do is for a copy of Perspectives. So there's the back cover. There's the front cover. So this is actually from Asmodee UK. So I worked on this game. I did some testing and I did some editing of this game. And as such, I got sent a copy of it. And I asked, would you mind sending me another copy of it as well? Because if you're going to send me one copy of the game, you know, it doesn't cost them that much to send me a second copy and I'll do a giveaway. And they said, yeah, sure, absolutely fine. So this is Perspectives. This is from Space Cowboys. It's designed by Dave Neal. This is a very, very clever game. I think it's gone a bit under the radar. I've talked about this game a bit more, but this is a game with three cases. These cases are detective-style cases. It's not escape room puzzles. It's more detective-style puzzles. Quite hard, very clever, in that you get these cards and you dish them out between the players, and then players have to describe what they see on the card. You're not really supposed to show the cards to the players. That's why it's called Perspectives, because different people see things from different perspectives. It works really well. You've just got to have a group that is very good at communicating with each other. If the player who got dealt card number 7 does not say, oh yeah, the window's got a brick thrown through it and there's glass all over the floor, I didn't think that was important. Yeah, that's not a spoiler, by the way. I just made that up. So yeah, you've got to share the information which you are given on these cards without actually showing the cards to the other players. So it's a fully cooperative game and we really enjoyed testing them. Anyway, I'm going to be giving this away. To enter the contest to win a copy of Perspectives, my usual thing, you need to click on the link in the form. So there is a link in the description of this video. It is a Google form. There is a couple of questions in the Google form. If you answer those questions, then I will... there's no right or wrong answers. There's just interesting questions. I will enter you into the contest. And if you are one of my Patreon supporters, then you get extra entries. So you still need to enter the contest if you're one of my Patreon supporters, but you will get extra entries rather than somebody who isn't. So it's open to all, but you've got more chance of winning if you're a Patreon supporter of mine. Anyway, that's Perspectives. That's the giveaway for this month. And that's it. I've reached the end of my document, which means I think I've talked about everything that I wanted to talk about. I'm sure there's something else I wanted to talk about. There's loads of extra things that I wanted to talk about. I've got so much on my mind at the moment. I could just talk forever, but I'm not going to. I'm going to wrap this video up, and anything that's really important, I'll add on afterwards or talk about it next month. But anyway, as mentioned at the start, this video is not sponsored in any way, and all of the advertising revenue goes to charity. So a huge thank you to all of my Patreon supporters for making what I do possible and making this video possible. And if you've liked it, leave me a comment. Let me know about all of the games that I've talked about, which ones of them you liked, which ones that you didn't like. Yeah, I do like getting the comments, not just for the algorithm, but because I like reading people's comments and replying to them and seeing what you think. Because we all have different opinions on games, and we can't all be right. So anyway, that's it for this month. Thank you very much for watching. Take care, and I'll see you next time. Bye-byes.